And the small one, this is the vector plot. So we are starting now for our meeting is officially open. And I also welcome you back to the meeting. We will have this panel which we have taken the decision upon. We are invited, in fact, requested by the Committee on Internal Affairs of the Federal German Parliament.
Yeah. Yeah. Carry on, carry on.
We meet with them on the 12th of April, which will be a Monday. They will be in South Africa from the 7th up until the 13th. So on the 13th they will be leaving, making it impossible for them to meet us. So we have to respond to this request. They are coming, they are an 8-member multi-party delegation. They will want to discuss issues related to the field of safety and security in the context of FIFA World Cup 2010, policing and the fight against terror. And they are saying it could be, they would be very happy to meet us as a person. And also they are here to strengthen relations between Germany and South Africa. In that field. And because it's a Monday, a constituency day, and we'll be coming from constituency, we thought that we have to come to the portfolio committee so that we get this decision together in the portfolio committee. I will be very thankful that it's a Monday. I think we are the only relevant committee to meet on this field. So I'm saying it so that as we deliberate on this matter, we are conscious of this very fact that we definitely will be in South Africa and there is a committee, portfolio committee, whatever that they call it, but there is a portfolio committee at our side. So yes, I'm requesting members to deliberate on this. What it might actually mean is that we might have to think it on either in the morning of Monday or Sunday evening. Let me see what number.
I'm saying those of us from Cape Town, I don't think should be the deciding factor. We didn't eat.
We fine.
Okay. Check. Is there any possibility of delegating some of our members to meet with them? For the whole committee to meet with them. What is your point of view in this suggestion? Because one, I'm feeling like that because you know that always Monday always the leadership always meets. Whatever meeting, most of the parties meet on Monday, and it will be coming from the process of the week and so on. And that is why I'm thinking aloud. Is there any possibility of delegating other members to meet with them? Not that we must meet them; we have to meet them. But if we can delegate other members, possible to meet with them. On our behalf.
There is such a ship that maybe we delegate members to meet with this delegation. I think you want to do something very different. I'm sure the captain will have to attend if the two members are there.
can be honourable and so.
It's because you didn't listen to me what I was saying. You were still with your book. I always say that don't cut up the ladies when I'm speaking.
You have a party with him.
No, Chesterton, really, jokes aside, it's because Monday, most of the leadership of the party, it's official now what I'm doing. Most of the leadership on Monday, they always speak. They speak on Monday, and that's why, therefore, I have a problem coming to be there. I really wanted to be part of the
party. It really is fine for me, and I think for one of us, right? I mean, but I don't have any problem attending anything, and maybe we should just say it as you. I mean, yes, obviously you would need to be there, that's up to you, really. But I'm quite happy to come if you know, I don't have a problem, I think it would be really useful. And then maybe just leave it up to whichever other members can come, so.
Okay, I'm a little bit worried it's going to be a female delegation. And I don't want them to think it's only women here in Parliament. No, seriously, I'm sorry.
Thank you for representing us.
Well, it's not more. No, I'll also be there because I can't say no to representing this woman's
daughter. Ah, we are all good friends. One thing that was said is that we will meet the delegation,
yes.
So we can actually respond to that one.
Yes.
If the logistics and so on will be finalizing the outside the meeting, but at least there will be people who will be there. We must complete the other, other ways of ensuring that we just not three, for instance.
Yeah.
Checking if we can get one or two people who may necessarily not be members of the portfolio committee to join us.
Yeah.
So that it's not just three people.
Yeah.
So I think those are logistics. Yes.
Sorry, Chairperson. I know that's a logistical issue, but I'm not sure what time we're looking at.
Morning.
If there was a possibility of it being an afternoon meeting, that might be quite helpful. Because I'm certainly a car can still start my constituency and things like that.
We will definitely try to do that, but we will not be too strict on them. We will want to be very flexible. Whatever that they say, we'll always assess. Can it be different if they say it, but this is then we take what they are saying. But of course, in principle, we'll definitely be meeting them. Thank you very much for that. We're moving on to our second item, Jeremy. I guess you're going to read that one. On the stretch plan, as well as the program, the comments.
Thank you, if I can just refer to the two documents. One would be the draft Green Plan 2010, which is effective 2010, and then the other document would be the Portfolio Committee of Police Draft Program 2010 to 2011, starting with term 2. So the second term would start on the 9th of April. Now, members would recall at the strategic planning workshop, we were requested to go back and just make a few changes. To the strat plan as agreed there, but more importantly to actually come up with a program and actually then incorporate whatever decisions have been taken in a workable program. And of course I've also gone a bit further and also included figures in terms of costing, so that the committee have an idea in terms of what the program, what it's going to cost us to actually do what we need to do. Drawing our attention to there hasn't really been much changes, if I can go straight to the program and maybe just mention a few things there. you would notice that if you just phase through the program briefly, you would notice that the program firstly deals with the legislation that the committee has to actually or what's expected to pass through this committee and be processed. The first would be then the ICD bill, which we're expecting to actually be in Parliament before the end of or beginning of the next term, which starts on the 30th of April. So first order of business would be to actually deal with that bill. But even before then, there's also a decision that has been taken at the stat plan for the committee to go on oversight visits to go and assess the readiness of the Western Police Service for the 2010 World Cup. And it has now actually been decided that there should be 7 committees that should be going on that oversight visit and that they'll of course be concentrated on the various portfolios. Moving further down, particularly looking at the bills that we'll be dealing with first, you'd notice that we'll be dealing with the ICD bill. Going through phase 2, you'll further see that we, in the middle of phase 2, from the third term onwards, we'll be looking at then dealing with the police civilian signatory bill, which is the second bill that we're expecting. And then the third would be the National Key Points Bill. You also notice in the program that all the relevant briefings that contained in the stat plan have been moved or shifted to actually be dealt with after we completed our work on legislation. As you know, in terms of the Parliament, we will always be prioritized. And in terms of this program, we're just following what's required. And then, as far as costing is concerned, I've actually tried to actually break it down so that you have an idea in terms of what it costs us per term. Drawing your attention to I think, what's on at the end of the third term, as per the committee's decision to undertake a study tour to Canada and UK, and just to alert you to the cost is plus minus 650,000, you know, to undertake that. And then right at the end, you would notice the last phase that's attached to the program. You've noticed that it's going to cost this committee in the region of 1.2 million to actually fulfill its mandate and fulfill what it has decided on its assessment plan. This, of course, will have to be submitted to the Office of the CFC, and we'll have to see whether they're going to approve this by the CFC. That's in short about, you know, as far as the draft plan is concerned, and of course the committee program, which is quite helpful documents to be prepared.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. These are the two documents. I think we can then discuss them if there's anything you want to say.
This isn't just a comment. It was my understanding that we were requested that the introduction and the briefing of the ICD bill and the secretary will take place on the same day, for the simple reason that they will be overlapping. So I think that needs to be corrected. And I also think the fact that both of them will be introduced by the secretary, not by the police themselves. Both bills will be introduced by the secretary. Obviously, together with the ICD, but I mean, as the secretary of police indicated, that the strategy workshop as well, they take responsibility for legislation. The second thing is, I'm not sure, but I thought at some point we said that we're trying to do both of them in the next term. to finish doing both before we leave in June. There's a lot of public hearings for the ICD board now, and a lot of dates for deliberations as well. But I mean, I don't have a problem, Claire, what I'm basically saying is that I think we must keep it in mind that so if we actually finish the ICD bill sooner, that one can then immediately start with the 6-period bill. That's basically what I'm suggesting. And then everything else can just move up.
Madam
Chair, in terms of the, I mean, if I look at the point that Annalise has raised, public hearing deliberation, but it's not the same for the other book. So if we look at the secretariat, you're only giving one day for public hearing. Yeah. Oh, no, it's more. Sorry. My apologies. It's broken up. Sorry, it doesn't actually. No, they're not covered on that. But, Chair, I'm just. In terms of the actual costing, that's the question I would like to raise. What is the actual budget that's given to the Book Building Committee? That would be helpful for us to understand. I mean, we're saying, before we say that this is great, what do we actually get as a committee? And it does bring me to another thing, which I'll keep raising, and I'll keep raising in the forum, is the costing of entry. And that's what I was saying early on. If you look at this for a meeting, it's 950 which is exorbitant to me. I'm not too sure whether that can be helpful in reducing our budget, but perhaps it's something we can do to that. But I think we need to just get an understanding of what the overall budget is.
Can I?
Okay.
Madam Chair,
with regards to the budget, it's a grey area. I'm not sure if I'll be the person to actually respond adequately to that particular question. Last year, most committees got a budget of $450,000. And then there's also such a thing called a consolidated fund as well, whereby a certain amount will be taken from each committee and it's kept in a consolidated fund. And I'm not sure who decides how this consolidated fund should be used. But to give an example, last year, by the end of last year, according to my calculations, and of course the chair was also aware of that, we were under the impression that the committee budget was depleted. Just to find that I was then informed that some of the activities were actually being covered by the consolidated fund. We ended up with something like $350,000 from a zero or even minus budget for that matter. This year, we've got no idea in terms of what the allocation is going to be. Thus, the reason why it was thought that we should include the costing in here. So that when we submit the strat plan and the program of the committee to the House chairperson, or the chair of chairs, they would at least have an idea in terms of what the committee budget look like or what we're looking at spending for this year. So it's seriously a great area, and like I said, I don't think that I would be the person to actually adequately respond to that. But I can only speak of what of course I know and what the experience was. As far as caking is concerned, yes, caking is very expensive in Parliament. We don't have any control over that. We have to use the caking services in Parliament. And unfortunately, that is the way it is. I hope that's helpful.
No,
Minister,
I'm not one of those people who subscribe to the philosophy just because it is that way and it's always be that way. And I would like to ask you this anyway, we can try and, I don't know if you guys can investigate other options. Because, I mean, I'm hearing now that the order is children's and then there must be charge to us whether we drink them or not. That's just nonsense. I mean, we should organize some arrangements that if we don't drink the stuff, then it goes back and comes to our head. And so we pay for stuff that we don't tax. I also just want to know why, for example, the liberations is just 2,500. There's other meetings on 1950. It doesn't make sense to me. I can understand the public hearings and like one rule of the public, but why is the difference for the liberations? Because that seems quite excessive.
Okay, you would notice we meetings are costed at 950 rand. You notice that would be half the meeting, which then is catered for lunch. And we can only then accommodate, well, we only order catering up to a maximum of 30 for 30 persons. When we have full day meetings, lunch will have to be provided for members and guests as well. And that then would account for the reason for the inflated cost of 2,500 rand full day meetings.
And the matter of fact, if your church is not accommodated, the matter of administrative, any oversight may be extremely strong.
Yes. Only on this beginning, because the program is going to last.
So
you'll notice that on the beginning of next year.
If we can have this budget approved, if you'll assist us a great deal, should we decide something that we want to go over this? But one thing is, legislation to prove then budget for the other hand. Because of other systems, which is very expensive.
Mm.
And as you can see, we have tried to advertise both the secretariat and the ICT together. But if you separate the two of them, for instance, then it's another 75% for each one. It's very expensive. It's very, very expensive.
Yeah, I think we've got, I mean, this is the work that we need to do. We've got no choice but to approve the program. What we've already said, if we finish with the ITV bill quicker than what we set out, we can do the secretariat bill, which means we immediately save some costs in the next term as well. So I mean, this is the reality of the work in front of us. It just reflects the reality of the work in front of us. I think one's going to stick with it and try and do it. I mean, the fact that we don't have time to do oversight simply means that members will have to take a bigger responsibility during constituency periods to do oversight in their constituencies where they are deployed.
Well, Chairperson, the two things I just wanted to raise. The first is that I think that perhaps, because I think it will be a bit worrying if we only going to go and visit our police station again next year. I would want to suggest that we are here in the Western Cape. We are based here as Parliament in the Western Cape, whether it's not possible then for us to do some visits to police stations here in the Western Cape. That's not expensive. You know, even if it means we go out to some other the surrounding town. But I think it's maybe something we should try and back to them. That's the one thing. I think if you look at the program, you know, it's a busy program, legislation, etc. And the study tour is not just a normal study tour. It's actually coming a little bit late. But should we not then maybe have a formal discussion with the House of Representatives to deal with the committee? Well, it's the administrative process can take place, but perhaps we need to go and meet with the House of Representatives and raise this program with the House of Representatives so that in fact he's sensitized to it and doesn't just take an administrative decision and stress the importance of particularly the study. That in fact I think does come before we even start the bill on the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And that will actually help us. So I think we need to make special presentation.
Plus in the front the sector captain of the portfolio committee with an appointment became missing, which of course was not the case. But it was purposeful for this one aspect. to discuss the importance of the trip to Canada by the portfolio committee, so that by the time he receives this, the approval of it. Unofficially, so we did speak up about it, but it was unofficial. I wanted to make it official.
No, just on that issue, there's nothing in the program dealing with that book. When are we going to do that?
You would notice during the, well, especially during the city planning workshop, when the with the presentation of the secretary, they were expected to highlight and indicate the things that the committee to what the committee can expect realistically in terms of the legislation. And these bills that we got included in our program were the only bills that were brought to the attention of the committee that which will be dealt with or that they will be bringing to Parliament for that matter. We're expecting that bill to actually be in Parliament by next year. At this stage.
Also, the very fact that our trip can only be in September if you check. And for sure it is after September that we can begin to talk about something. Remember we said we'll do our comparative study international tour. Now if it is September constituent period of September, all that will be left is October, then it's the last session of the year. So practically, so it means that we can be considered next year. Yes, but yeah, when we've done our work, just take out the comments. Okay, that being the case, we are therefore adopting the rest of our trip plan, which is before us. I just wanted to make this correction guided by our interest in effective. Just outside the page one, guided information, guided by our interest in effective. So it leads to more. This is our question. We're calling to it. The Canada trip from 6-9 surely goes to that session. We therefore are also to adopt our question.
I'm teaching in English. Thank you, Jefferson. I second the English. Subject to modification.
Thank you very much. We are done with this. Honorable Chair, you are welcome to the meeting. Taken a decision on the delegation from Germany that we will meet them to set on the second on the 12th in the 12th of April, which will be a Monday. So the committee is saying that they must meet them then never the indicator that it's even starting. Monitoring tool, multiple analysts, so it's our last item and I think.
Thank you, Chief. I think everybody's got a copy. And everybody's got three copies now, I'll explain why just now. I'm just going to quickly run through it. The subcommittee did meet on a couple of occasions, and we did a dry run after the data tool last week, Thursday, cash on police station. And I can just say we all felt that if all police stations were run like the Cape Town Central police station, it will be refreshing. It was quite an informative experience. I'm just going to take members through our alternate page by page. What we did on the first page is, and I'm talking about, you will see there's a cover page. Next to the cover, at the back of the cover page is the letter from the chairperson. Just saying that introducing the monitoring tool to the police station and asking for the police station to cooperate with the member who's completing the tool. This is standard to what we've always had on the tool. Then there's an index, and the reason why we did the index is specifically also checked for when the committee go as a committee. It makes it just that much easier if we want to divide the committee and the certain sections. Members. Also, it assists members when they go on their own in the following way. Some of the information takes a bit longer to collect, specifically around statistics. And I would urge members, even after I've gone through it now, to have a look at it in their own time as well. And there are some of those, I will highlight them as we get to this, that you can actually ask the station commissioner when you get there to ask the different people who's responsible for that information to start collecting the information so that when you get to them that they actually have it ready and that you don't waste time in terms of that. So the tool is now divided into four sections. Section one deals with station management. Section two with the community service center. Section three with the station operational components. And section four with the service delivery protection. The client survey in short. Particularly Ms. Shaker is not here now because I wanted to urge specifically political parties here to eat. Political parties, especially I know the DA uses the tool quite often as well, but we don't always have political parties giving the tools back to us so that we can capture the information. So we would like to urge political parties to make sure that the tools that they are, that they complete, come back to Jeremy, so that we can capture and do the proper evaluation of what is in it. Page 4 is the vacancy. All members will recognize it as from the previous two as well, just to indicate whether it's an unannounced or announced visit, whether it's an individual member or committee, the date of the visit, whether you, if it's from a legislature, that they can indicate there, etc. Station details, speak for itself. Then station management. Section one, station management. Jefferson, this is basically far more comprehensive than it was in the past. And what we are suggesting is when we go as a committee, is that we actually start with this section and that it forms part of the briefing of the committee before we split up in groups. Because it will give us an overview of the station before we actually do the actual inspection. It takes a while to complete, especially if you've got a talkative station commissioner, it can take quite a while. But it is, you will see that it addresses the issues that we have been concerned about for a number of years. What we did do here is that we've also extended the questionnaire to focus specifically on the station commander in terms of what is his experience or her experience, where have they been previously, where have they been deployed, and what courses for station management have they done up to that point in time, and what is still outstanding. It also gives you an overview of the demographics of the area that they need, the language, predominant languages in the area, the languages that can be spoken in the police station, the client profile. Here specifically I want to ask members, if you complete this section, asked Sajjan Kumala to highlight for you his 10 most important tranches for this financial year and his ratings for the previous financial year. Instead of saying to him, murder, where would you put it? Say to him, tell us which is the 10. Because the moment we start asking them according to the list, it takes them quite a while to figure out where they fit. But if you ask them for the 10 priority tranches, all of them are on here, they will be able to order them for you quicker. Then also, what was the rating for the previous financial year? The reason why we're asking this question this way is that we want to establish whether the station has improved in its priority crime. If murder was a priority crime last year, it shouldn't really be a priority crime again this year. They should have had an impact on it somehow. I'm just using murder as an example. It might not be the best example. Theft from motor vehicle might be a better example. The ranking of the station for this financial year, that would be the ranking in the province. You remember that back we saw we ranked as one of the worst stations, but even though we thought it was quite a good station, coupled with the crime figures, what was it for the current financial year, the last financial year, and the year before the last year? So we're trying to get the 3 years, so that again, whether we can see whether there is improvement or not. Is the station an accounting station? Now, SAP did away with area stations, but they put in the place of area stations, accounting stations. And the moment a station is an accounting station, it means that that station handles far more than a normal police station. It would be the station that does the finances for 5 stations that report to that station. It will be the station where, if there's a gym, the gym will be at that station and other stations will come to do their fitness there, etc., etc. So in that effect, it becomes important because it also gives us a specific feeling about what the responsibility of that station is. Then the training, this is training focusing on the station commander. Did he complete the station management learning program? What training is still outstanding that the station commander needs to complete, such as the executive learning program, etc.? Then we asked him about field training officers. You will remember that in Mpumalanga we saw that there were stations with student constables with no field training officers. So we asked him then whether there is a training officer, how many of them, what is the rank of the field training officer, has the field training officer been trained in the field training course, and how long has the person been in the SAPS? No use to training field training officer is a student constable himself. I mean, that doesn't make sense. And then how many student constables at the station? Just to see whether the ratio between the number of field training officers and the student constables correlates. Is the station commander satisfied with the level of capacity of the student constables? You will remember also that we picked up that some station commanders were saying to us that they don't believe the training is adequate and therefore they still need to spend some time on getting basics done at the station level. We then asked a new question, what percentage of the last intake of student constables at the station passed their final assessment? Just to see again whether the field training officer is actually adequate in terms of the student constable. So if you have a high percentage of your student constables at that station failing their final assessment, then clearly there's a problem with the field training officer at the station as well. Just to correlate that. What steps have been taken to address the fitness levels of members in the past financial year? You most probably saw over the weekend that there's again an emphasis on fitness. Now, it's interesting to find out whether this is actually pulled through the station level. Cape Town Police Station, again, initiative of a commander, he appointed a personal trainer at the station that serves the 5 stations in the accounting area, and every staff member obligated to go to this personal trainer, get an be assessed and get a personal program that they must actually follow in the gym at the station. We asked how many of them, what steps have been taken to improve their fitness level. And then management. The reason why we expanded a bit on management is again based, a lot of what we put in here is based on our strategy plan that we developed. So we're trying to focus on what we've decided as a committee to our focus areas for the year as well. management were, it was one of them. So what we're asking here is whether the Safety Commissioner has signed a performance agreement with the Provincial Commissioner, and then again, according to the regulations, every single person working at that station should sign a performance agreement with the Station Commissioner. So we're asking whether that has happened as well. Average reaction time to complaints in the previous month, according to the performance chart. That's always a good indication of service delivery and whether it's actually going well. We are interested to find out whether there's a problem with formulated charges. The way that the people that take down the statement in the end and open the file formulated charge. The second question there is whether there's a problem in terms of statement taking. And then we are obviously interested, what are they doing as management to address if there is a problem? So we'll address what the steps that the station commander has taken in order to address those issues. Communication towards management, too. It's how often do they have meetings as a full management, meetings with detectives, meetings with other members, and any other meetings that they have as management. And then interest for us this year is this, how do they communicate national instructions to the members at the station, policies and procedures. So that's why that question is in there as well. A question that we haven't asked before as well is the debriefing of the trauma. Just to try and find out whether the police actually focus on trauma debriefing. It would be interesting, for instance, to find out after the T-point incident whether the people involved have been sent to trauma counselling. I know the station commander at Cape Town Central insists that these people actually do go to trauma counselling, and he won't put them back on duty unless they've been there. So, I think it's important. Just interrupting myself, you would also see that the question focuses on areas that if we do this over a period of time and we get a couple of these tools back completed, it will indicate to us whether there's a need for a policy review on a specific area. For instance, let me use the example of trauma. It's a voluntary thing at this stage. Now, many police services throughout the world, it's not voluntary. And maybe at some point in time, we might want to suggest that it becomes an obligation that if you've been involved in cheating, that you must go to trauma counselling, etc. I mean, some police services don't even give the gun back to the person before you've got a certificate from the trauma counsellor to say it's fine, they can carry a weapon again. I think it's also part of the human resource care obligations there. Satellite stations and building plans, this has been a standard question that we've had in all our previous things as well. Whether you would immediately see whether it's necessary to ask this section. If it's a new station, it won't be necessary to ask this section. Stakeholder interaction. We have visited the station in the previous year. All those questions have been there previously. Private security contracts. That has been there before. The relationship with unions have been there before. It goes quite quickly to complete these roles. Community Police Forum, again, we ask that if the CPS chairperson is there, that these questions be asked to the CPS chairperson directly, but many times when it's an unannounced visit, the CPS chair won't be there, and then you have to ask the station commissioner to assist you with completing that. Can I say it's quite interesting as well in our dry run that we found that and I think we've seen it even with other visits as well, that where the station really has a good relationship with the CPS, it's not a problem for the station commander, even if you get there unannounced, to phone the station, the CPS chairperson, and ask them to come through and to complete the section. We did focus a bit more on the station commander, also informed by our experience in Mpumalanga, on whether the station commander himself is involved in the CPS or whether he's just delegated to a more junior officer in terms of that. And then a new question there, anything that the CPS chairperson wants to raise. Again, because of our experience, that sometimes this is the one opportunity they have to raise without issues that they might have. Section 2 deals with the community service centre. We have really divided the questions more logically at this time around, so that the issues that you will find at the community service center are actually addressed in that section. So you won't have to run from the one room to the other room while trying to find the answers. Okay, then finding some accessibility, that has been there before. Cleanliness of the station has been there before. General information has been there before. Following facilities exist, that has been there before. Comment is just if there's a specific comment that you would like to make. And we would also urge members, if there is something very positive to say, please say that as well. Let us not only write down the negative. If there's something positive, let's do that as well. Then members will see throughout the questionnaire that there are information notes that direct members in terms of who you should ask the question for to and what you should exactly ask for. Domestic violence. So domestic violence, while you are in the community service center, you will ask this question. And then is there domestic violence registered at the station? Date of the last entry, the normal inspection of the domestic violence register that was done before. The act, the copy of documentation available to each police vehicle that is used to send complaints. Jefferson, this is a typical example of something that we know by now from oversight visits and from reports that we've received back that's not been adhered to. And one will have to at some point address this issue with management, national management, whether the national inspection around this should not change or, you know, why is this never in the vehicles that are going to attend? You know, because it's obviously not being adhered to. So this would be a typical example of proven problem shortcoming within the national instruction, and that one will have to look at that. Number of domestic violence incidents reported at the station in the previous financial year. Can I just, while we're talking about that, remember we are in the last month of the current financial year. So if we say year, previous financial year, we actually would like to ask members to ask this question for this financial year because they will have the data available. It will be for the financial year 2009-2010. For the simple reason, because we are at the end, they have the data and it's available. If you start doing your oversight visits in April, then you will ask for the previous financial year. It will again be 2009-2010. But it's no use asking this question now for 2008-2009. We are interested in what happened 2009-2010. A new question under domestic violence. How many dockets have been opened? Because there's a number of complaints, and this again is an indication of problems maybe with the legislation. The number of complaints will be much higher than the number of dockets actually opened. And it will give us an indication whether we've got to revisit the legislation to see why are there less dockets open than complaints registered. Number of complaints received against members, what is the number of applications made for the ITD? That's the non-compliance of the DVA register. That's a normal question that has been there. Child Justice Act 3.2. Members don't need to complete this with this round because it's not operational yet. So we put it in based on the regulations, the draft regulations, but we will only start using it after April. We will only start using Section 3.2 after April, dealing with the Child Justice Act. Firearms, the same questions as previously, apart from the following. Firearm renewals received in the previous financial year. Remember now that the initial renewal period is over and done with. So your renewals are going to be dramatically less. It's only going to be the renewals that you are going to get now. It's going to be the renewals for the people that applied for their licenses in 2005. We must remember that because it's now only a renewal of the new system. It's no longer a renewal under the old system. So it will be less and we need to get that data. And then what we, it's going to be only going to be able to start measuring this by the end of the year, but we can start completing it. How long does it take now for the new renewal system actually to kick in? How long does it take to finalize that? Same process, the record is starting. Talk to the person in charge of Human Resources Association in order to get this. We direct members to the people that will actually be able to give them the information. what is the resource allocation guideline that I have for the station? The actual number of staff, so the RAC would say 150, but the actual number might only be 140. And then please indicate the current staff according to the following categories as well as current vacancies. Here we extend it a bit so that we can see where the shortages are. Is it at the community service centre? Remember that community service centre also deal with your sector policing part of it, so it becomes important in that regard, intelligence, etc., etc. I think it's self-explanatory. Notwithstanding that, and notwithstanding the lag, in that person's opinion, where's the critical shortages? So that we can get a feeling of that. Number of active reservists. We've moved this question, you would remember it was previously at the station commander, I think. We've moved it here because this is the person that will be able to give you that information, it's the human resource person. Now, we're specifically interested in management vacancies. So we want to know whether there are any categories, management personnel that has been vacant for a period and for how long. And here we've divided into support services, detective, crime prevention, as your critical vacancies, management vacancies. Leave, we've reworked this so that it makes a bit more sense. Where is the most important absenteeism? Weekends, Mondays, half month, night shift, before or after 4 day on off period. Jefferson, you will remember that we started picking up a trend that it's before or after the 4 day on off period. And then which month reflects the highest absenteeism? And in little longer, we were told winter time, and I thought it was warming winter. Is there a general problem with absenteeism at the station? If yes, what are they doing? What steps have they done in order to address that? Disciplinary grievance procedures. There's a person in charge of disciplinary process at the station. And there's a couple of questions that we've moved from different sections to this one because it makes more sense to ask that person all these questions. The numbers of grievances by police officers at the station. What is the nature of those grievances? And again, it gives us a reflection on management at the station. What number of these grievances have been resolved? What are the requirements for finalization of cases? Discipline. How many cases of misconduct, cases of fraud or corruption? They do differentiate between them, and I think it's important that we do as well. How many cases of misconduct, including for corruption, are currently outstanding? And for how long have these cases been outstanding? Nature of these cases. You don't necessarily want everything, but I mean, they can just give you an indication of what is the nature. Have any means, this used to be with the detectives. We've moved it here now because this is the person dealing with it. Have any means been charged with discipline as a result of missing dockets? Follow up questions to that. Any means currently suspended without pay, yes or no? How many and for what period of time? What's the average time for finalization of cases where members have been suspended without pay? Reason for options question, does it really lead to quicker finalization of disciplinary cases if it is without pay? Work pay, same as previously. Interacting with the ICD, again, it's your disciplinary person that deals with it at the station, and that's why we've moved it from the station commissioner to the section. Death and police custody, for all these cases, was the ICD notified? If the ICD was not notified, why not? Recommendations, what were the recommendations? Were the recommendations implemented? Not implemented, why not? How many cases were there? Criminal misconduct were investigated by the ICD against the station in the past financial year and the comments. You will see when you ask the question to the disciplinary person that you will get far more reliable information regarding this as well. Public complaints against police. Is there a written register book of public complaints? Ask to see this. The standing order says that they must put it in their incident book, in the normal incident book at the station. So just if they say they've got it, just ask them to see it and ask that they can show you where they've actually registered the complaint. How many internal disciplinary actions have been taken by station managers, management as a result of the complaints, and what were the type of complaints? again, can I just say that this is a typical section that you can ask the Strength Commissioner when you get there to ask him to get ask the disciplinary person to start getting the statistics ready for you. Just say that you want disciplinary ITV complaints, etc., so that they can start collecting those when you arrive there. Training. This question must be asked to the head of human resources or training. Some stations, depending on the size, have a specific person for training. Other stations, if they are smaller, the human resource person will be training with it. Commissioned Officers Learning Program, that's what the TOLP stands for. Middle Management Learning Program, MMLP, that's just how many of them have done so, how many still outstanding. And then what training is still outstanding with regard to senior management attestation. Training on domestic violence question we've asked before. We're putting a new question just to follow up in terms of the frequency of training. When last did anybody undergo domestic violence training attestation? Because it's about repressive orders as well. Okay, vehicles, head of logistics. We've moved. We're still asking the detectives that same question. We're still asking the sector police just so that we can hear from them. But the person that knows is the head of logistics. So it's also to give us a feeling of what the logistic guy believes and actually what the need on the ground is. Are there sufficient vehicles? According to the VAC, what should you have? What do you actually have? And then what do you need for the following? Community Service Centre, Crime Prevention Detectives, DFO Support, Port and Allen. What is your ideal number of actual vehicles to be available? Are the vehicles suitable for the terrain? What is the current ratio of operational personnel to vehicles? Now here we've broken it down again. This question wasn't here previously. This is, you remember when the Provincial Commissioners were here, they said it's 1, 2, 3. Am I right? The, 1 to 3, 3.5 and 1 to 4. It's just so that we know what is the community servicing centre's ratio, crime prevention detectives, crime intelligence support services and others. How many operational members are not in possession of a driver's license? And even if they have a driver's license in order to drive a state vehicle, they must have a state authority to drive a police vehicle. That's a different license. How many of them have that? How many vehicles have been boarded in previous financial year? Been allocated to the station in the previous financial year? Number of vehicles currently being serviced or repaired at the time of the visit? How long have they been on average in the garage to be repaired? Accidents, how many accidents in the previous year? How many of these accidents were a result of negligence? How many vehicles were taken home after hours? How many vehicles are utilized for responding to calls for assistance from a community that shift during the week? In other words, how many vehicles are available for them to go out to complain? Utilized for responding to calls for assistance from a community that shift during the weekend. We have picked up as well that there are less vehicles at the station over the weekend. And there's not always a logical reason why that is the case. So we just want to try and measure that as well. Does the following infrastructure exist at the station? You will see that we've opened electricity and water, given that there are still 40-something stations in the Eastern Cape without that. Student constables, when entering the station, arrive with their own goods group weight. That's what we've been told, so we're just checking that. Do they arrive with their own firearms? Now, Jefferson, this is very interesting. In our dry run, even though we are told that they are issued with the firearm at the college, it seems not the case because they say they still issue them at the station with the firearm. Is each of the main operational member issued working on their own bulletproof vest? Is there a shortage of vests at the station? If yes, how many additional vests are required? Are there sufficient bulletproof vests designed for women? If no, place firearms. We asked this question about firearms being either tested. The idea is, as you would remember, that all police firearms will be either tested, so that if a crime is committed by a police firearm or through a police firearm, that that firearm can be traced. So we just want to monitor the process of either testing. One must accept that it won't be at all stations yet, because they started with the units and then they're moving to the station. So one must accept that the answer at this stage might still be a negative answer. a shortage of operational equipment that's a handcuff shortage vacant, things like that. Certain operational components, here we are talking about your detectors, your sector policing, etc. It's your operational police. Same questions in terms of detectors. Training, we ask on page 38 the level of training. Then we ask eight of the eldest detector legislation. It's a new question that we have, didn't have previously, in order to see what the experience level of them are. Then the detective training courses. How many of the detectives have completed the industry course, detective training course, and then how many have received the specialized training course, the detective training course. Then the question, how many training opportunities do you have each year for detectives? Now, we realize that this is determined provincially, but it's important for us also to get the statistics so that we can see how long it's going to take for the detectives to get to the level where they are actually all basically trained at the same level. Number of decreases allocated per vehicle, shortages of vehicles, additional vehicles, caseloads, what's the total number of caseloads, what's the average number of cases assigned to each detective, smallest caseload carried, highest caseload carried, average detection rate for the previous financial year, and we ask that you put in a percentage first. And then average the detection rate for crime category for the previous financial year, right? Murder, property crime, assault, GBA. Disposal rate. I don't think it's necessary for me to explain the disposal rate. I think members knows what we mean by that. Conviction rate, that would be that the court had a verdict on. Percentage of doctors that are older than 1 year in each category. And we focus on the rate of murder, property crime, and full GBH. What is the status of older doctors in the system that is still open? How many cases passed financially have been closed and detected? I think this becomes an important question for the committee specifically. The experience of regarding incorrectly formulated charges. You can remember we've asked that to the station commissioner as well, but we're now asking the detective because it's these people that's got to work with this. What is his or her experience around this issue? Missing documents. How many have gotten missing? Court register, whether they've got the following in place. That's just to make sure that they have the necessary systems in place to make sure that they don't lose a document. And then, instead of asking whether they've got problems with magistrate courts or regional courts, we just ask, do you have any problems in your interaction with the courts, prosecutors, or other role players in the criminal justice system? So, basically the same, apart from the fact that we've differentiated between, we've got a specific section dealing with children. You will see all these questions you will recognize from the previous document. New question, does the J8 correspond with the prisoners in itself? The J8 is the court order to say where the prisoners must be locked up. So you must actually ask to see it. The J8 will indicate to you that the prisoner is supposed to be locked up in Barberton, but the prisoner is locked up in Nelspruit. And that is a problem in itself. General condition of the cell, same question. Toilet facilities, ablution facilities, all those are the same questions. Children under the age of 18 in the cell, have a probation officer been informed? These things are basically the same. Have any of the children been in the cell more than 48 hours? How long? Basically the same. Page 46. Number of deaths in the cell, escapes from the cell. Each incident I meant to explain to you how it occurs. So we want to know the number of incidents, but we also want to know how many people escape per incident. So it can be one incident, but four people escape. For each incident, explain whether police assisted in escape, result of negligence, result of inadequate infrastructure. Comments. Any comments that you want to make, or that the person who you ask the question for feel they want to give you in over and above the questions that we have. Crime prevention, we did put in a few extra questions. The first one you will see is the, do they have foot patrols, mounted patrols, motorcycle patrols, vehicle patrols, air support, So the mount of the clock can also be the door. What type of operation?
Oh, the horses, yeah.
What type of operation does the station have taken in the past financial? Stop and search, ordinance search, vehicle search, experimental search, people search. The reason why we're putting these questions is actually that it gives us a sense of the proactive policing that is conducted by the station. Section 13 stores claim basically the same questions as previously. We've included archives, just to be more specific about the archives, and that's also as a result of our experience previously. Specialized units. Jefferson, this question becomes interested in terms of the minister's undertaking that specialized units like the child protection unit will be re-established, just to see how the progress is going around in terms of that. Sector policing, basically the same questions as previously, with a few additions. One of the additions is how many vehicles per shift do you have available? How many staff per shift do you have available? Because you will remember that we got to stations where they didn't have enough staff or they didn't have enough vehicles, so they actually couldn't run a full shift. And the ratio of staff per vehicle per shift. Then the last section, Jefferson, and what we suggest is that when we go to these stations, that we actually still divide the tool in three. First part with the management, we can sit as a committee, so that we all get the overview. Then we can do the community service centre and to do the operational part, can somebody, another group can do, and then a client survey where a group can stand behind in the community service centre and speak to people who are leaving the police station to find out from them how did they experience the services they receive, do they get feedback from the police, etc. Lastly, if I can just say the following two things. Members will remember that we did indicate that we want to go into partnership with the Secretariat once they've fully established under the new legislation as well, that we already did the development of the redraft of the tool in collaboration with the Secretariat. Specifically the person responsible for monitoring and evaluation, but also Chief Director Kinnis. The idea is that they will capture the data for us. We will, and we are in the process of negotiating with them what kinds of reports we would require back and how often we would require back those reports. And there will be a formal memorandum of understanding between the chairperson of the committee as well as the Secretary of Police in terms of an agreement on the feedback. The reason for this is twofold. The one is that it enables us to get better quality data back as well. Secondly, they will use basically the same tool when they go and visit the police station. So we will also have the advantage to have the information that they get in the report when they then give us reports. So it extends our database as well. But obviously it also extends their database because they will then also have access to what we give them. And for that reason, members have received each three monitoring tools, three copies of the tool, because we're pleading with members in this constituency period to try and complete three of them and to bring them back to us after the constituency period, so that we would like to have your feedback. Where did you find it difficult? What questions are still difficult to answer? Where do you believe we must take our questions which is not serving a purpose or which the police cannot give us any feedback on, etc.? But also, we want to give those that we have completed to the Secretary for capturing and for a draft report so that we can see how it works and whether it actually works. So that we, before we finalise any agreement with them as well, that we can see the quality of that. Jefferson, that in short is everything.
Thank you very much. Remember that we decided on forming a subcommittee which was to review this monitoring tool, and it was another book, and then released another book, called another book, initially in Israel, but later in London. And we said we must give feedback to the portfolio committee on the work that the initial has done. And members also are aware of the fact that this tool was adopted by Parliament, was presented and adopted by Parliament by the former Faith and Security Portfolio Committee. I think we can just discuss briefly. I will, because this has been my question each time I used the to comment the two faith-based women talking stakeholders. Why are we worried about the politicians that visiting police stations? Why must we include them there? I'm asking. The MSC, the members of parliament, what does it mean if they visit it? If they're not visited, what does it mean? I'm just asking. But also, I think it's number 5 and 6. Yeah. According to number 4 statute, the human resource person will have to respond to those questions. Mm-hmm. And then number 5, the person in charge of disciplinary processes will have to respond to those questions. Then number 6, possibly it will be a human resource person or a training person.
So we are in our site?
I'm on page 30. From page 23 to page 6. The question I'm asking is why is number 5, number 6, not number 5? I'm just asking why is number 6, not number 5? So that if it is the same person, the human resource person, you talk to that person on staffing matters, then you check, you find out from here at number 5 on issues related to training. If she refers you to the next person, then you can go to that next person. But if she's responsible, you are able to proceed from number 4 to number 5. Because there might be a tendency that you will leave this person, go to a person responsible for disciplinary issues, and after that you have to come back to the same person for training issues. I think it would make sense if this is number 5 and not number 6. One other question I just want to
I'm trying to understand you. Just repeat your question so that you
don't
be analyst only the answer of you.
Okay.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that number 4
yes.
is on staffing.
Yes.
It's page 23.
Oh, yes.
And the person responsible for that is the human resource person.
Yes, yes.
And then number 5 is disciplinary and grievance procedure.
Yes.
And the person responsible for that is a person in charge of disciplinary processing.
Yes.
Then number six. Is training on page 6.
Yes.
Is training.
It's human
and resource. A person responsible for that human resource.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is why
number
6
4
is not made number 5.
Oh.
So that you flow from staffing to training. If it is the same person who must respond to those questions, you remain with that person for number 4. In number 5. So that then you leave this person after number 5 because you've asked all the questions relevant to that person. Okay, one other question. You know, when it may necessarily not be a question, but when you say to the people, how many the high groups do you have? Then they say we have 2. But how many do you require? Then they say we require 7 or so. One thing I was observing where we were is that they tend to think that they to give you those numbers as a member of parliament because you're going to ensure that they get those required the high cost. You know, it's like you're creating some hope that we are told the portfolio committee that we need 10 more cars, then they're going to come. Sometimes you actually see them scratching their heads because they will not even say what they need, they will add because they think, yeah, now it's parliament, they stay with the Minister of Finance, they will get money and give it to us. I'm just saying that because this one was observing it. They think that we've given these figures to parliament, it means something is going to happen. Should there be, either we ask the question, but should there be a way of processing these things? I'm not sure as to what should happen. Because if we ask them and we leave, they know that we've given our new to parliament. Surely they're expecting something from us. Are we in a position to do that?
Okay. Chair, I think first we need to take the peak for the work that's been done. Longer. Not sure if I'm that bad. But I'm serious, I think we need to take the peak for the work that they've done, and then you can take the very commendable. I wanted to just get clarity. The monitoring tool in previous form was adopted by Parliament. Still an official document, probably no word in the document. I was asking the chair.
Yes.
Then, Jim, let's put a couple of things. Firstly, is it possible that we could get this from email?
No.
Because it may be helpful for some of us to take our laptops to the station and put it in there on the laptop. Email is that one. There's on page 38, it asks the ages of detectives, the youngest as well as the club, and then why are we wanting that information. It's helpful for the, I see we don't include on page 47, it was on a different unit, where we said we don't include the waterways, and there is a waterway, obviously. They do patrols and harbours detection on this one, and why we don't have that. Maybe I've missed it. Page 3, I imagine when a member of Parliament delivers it as a ghost to the police station, I imagine we want them to bring them back, not in the police station. So I think, yeah, there's a bit of confusion there. The police got close to the fact it's not going to get back there. And then, just as my last point that I want to check. Is that, one, every so often experiences problems in getting into some of these police stations, where the station commanders have to deliberately make it difficult. They tell you you must write them a letter, why you want to come, etc. Now, if you are members at very least of the project committee, is it not possible that somehow the minister or somebody can just put out an instruction? Something that says when members of the portfolio committee or members of the parliament come to the police station, this is what they're coming for, we need to accommodate. Because in my own constituency, I have this problem. Some of them are very difficult. And you just can't get in there because they keep telling you they're not available, you write letters, you write the provincial commissioner. So I'm just asking, is there something that can be done to try and help us?
Like very briefly, just on page 53, a spelling of perception. Perception is perception, so I think it's perfect. 53. The top of the end. Oh. And then I just, I was thinking they've done a very good job, but I'm very pleased to see that we aren't having a section 1 and 2. We have to leave the one with the perception move because that is never, ever followed. So I think that's very, very, very good move. Otherwise, I think it's very well done. And very long.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming in. The point I want to make firstly to appreciate the wonderful work that I remember was raised in the school. But just to pick up on the issue that you raised on the 14th with regards to the school project, I'm not sure that the point that we are raising, in fact, in the second of, was on the basis of our oldest member of the parliament. I'm not sure that we have to question, again, using our own school's question in a questionnaire, okay, that member of the parliament has questioned. And I don't think it's making sense. I'm not sure that it has to be in that question, that we ourselves, this is our school, adopted by parliament, can question. I want to know if member of the parliament has questioned the question. Maybe set ourselves against each other, we have a position to think about the business and the business. I'm not sure, but there is no doubt to say. But the point I want to come in again is that this school can give you the state of the situation. Therefore, it's a very, very specific school to you. My point would be, why is it it's a school that has adopted the parliament? Why is it that parliament is capacity, either this portfolio committee can make a call for parliament to create capacity for people to be able to deal with that. I don't think it's going to the secretariat. Secretariat still accounts for this portfolio committee. And I don't want us to rely on the secretariat to be the one that keeps the data for us and bring it back as required. It's not going to run. They have to do their own arrangement. They can use the tool for their own benefit. It's an independent voice from parliament. But we have to do that. So, my point I want to bring in here is that because I'm saying the nature of the information that is available to us, so what's the information. Therefore, if Parliament through either research units or capacity that they call for, we can have that data captured for the portfolio committee at Parliament rather than who have a relationship with the Secretariat, the very good thing, I don't have a problem. But to that extent, you know, I want to understand where the security of this information lies. I'm not saying that the Secretariat is weak or we don't trust them by the fact, but I think it's very, very fundamental. We can engage further on this matter, but I don't think that it is wise for us to say we go and do oversight and we take the report, we give it to the Secretariat to keep proper data or whatever, to analyze it for us. I don't think it's correct. Parliament will have to create its own capacity to do that, meaning that this portfolio committee might have capacity to do that. It's obvious, so adopted by Parliament, without looking at what kind of resources must we give to this wonderful school, the world's best school. But my one event is then to that issue. It deals with the issues of the state of your police in the country. So therefore, it's not just a slumber report that we can just give it away to anybody. There is a concern I'm just raising, but members are facing their own issues. But I thought that as we deal with this thing, in our minds, it must be very clear where does this information. And where it is kept, and how accessible is that information for ourselves to see. If the second part, if the secretariat that goes into the information, how far can they go in it? Because they have to do the same, they have to do the very same one for them. We cannot dismiss at some point that members of parliament is doing the work that's supposed to be done by the secretariat. They have to do their own oversight, how they do with that, but we cannot dismiss and succeed in the secretariat with the information that is done for members. Because this is a very much political tool that they are using. So, I mean, that's my point, but we can continue to use it if there's anything.
No, thank you very much for the question. I think we left on the issue that you know, okay, so it's in the left of this country. I a little bit have some difficulties in understanding, indeed, myself, that we then hand it over to the secretary. I think I have some little bit of difficulties in understanding this. Then we expect the secretariat to come back and report to us of our work. It was done clumsily by the members of parliament when we have access to them, you know, and so on and so forth. I'm just setting an example. I also think that if you look at it, the next thing you call it to account. And you know, I think it's something that you need to discuss and find the better way of dealing with them. The research of the portfolio committee was supposed to be research.
Yeah,
was supposed to be assisting us in this, whether alone or whoever. It was supposed to be assisting us in this because it is portfolio committee and the parliament member who can hold him accountable to anything, anything he is, and so on and so forth. There's no secret, of course, but I'm just saying it. I think it's something that we need to have and engage on, say that, and look at it as a matter of ethical issue as well. Matter of ethical issue as well. I think so.
Thank you, Gudison. Okay, I'm going to ask Nadia if I missed something, please, to just add. In terms of your first point and also on Sophie's point about why we included the politicians, it was simply included, and I mean, I don't have a problem that we removed it. It was simply an idea to get, and you must remember, this is about when we adopted the tool, it was about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was part of the civilization, moving from a force to a service. It was trying to measure that as well, so that you could see the interaction that they also have with politicians, etc., etc. There's no harm in it being removed. I mean, this question has never given us any problems up to now, but I mean, Nadia, I don't think there's anything we can basically. What I would request members is that we leave is local government, because it is extremely important that local government have a close relationship with the police station. And when you see that the CPS actually function well, it's because also there are local government representativity on the CPS, and where local government actually involve themselves even with programs of the CPS to assist and to support them. So I don't have a problem that we remove from Minister of Safety and Security up to Member of Parliament or Member of the Provincial Legislature. We can do that. Now he's got a note of that. So we just ask members, I mean, that you keep your copies, but then just don't ask those questions this time around. Then, Jefferson, when we get to the issue of the I agree with you completely about moving around. We can move 5 and 6 distance and, you know, swap them around. That we can do. We will do some in the email versions that we send out to members now. If you are going to use this, just be aware that you've got to ask 6 before you leave to ask 5. I think the reason why it slipped through as well is because some stations have different people dealing with it. Your smaller stations won't have different people dealing with it. Page 32, you have, oh yes, the ideal number of actual vehicles that should be available at the station. So you would see that we specifically asked the allocation, and then what is the actual figure. I think the committee's got to take this decision. Either we remove this ideal number of actual vehicles completely, because it still gives us a figure of what according to the RAC should be there and what they have. And I think it's going to be difficult for this committee, even if we can follow through on this question, to argue against the RAC. I don't think it's our work either to do so. So my gut feeling would be that we remove that question completely then. What is your ideal number of vehicles that should be at the station? You're in any case going to pick up if there are shortages, because your detectives are going to say to you, the ratio will indicate to you, etc. So the fact of the matter is, rather than us thinking that we're going to follow through on it as well, I would then rather suggest that we remove it. We will still get the information on whether there is a shortage or not. So we will remove that on the email versions as well. Greg. We can definitely send it through to you on email, and we'll ask Jeremy to do so often we've affected the changes. The ages. Why is it important to search off the ages? The reason why it's important is that when we did the growth of the police service, of personnel members, we didn't accordingly recruit the detectives. So you've got a huge shortage of detectives now. And what is happening is that student constables just get deployed to detectives, and they have basically no experience. So just to try and establish And age is normally a very good indication of the experience of the person as well. The other thing is that a person can do all the detective training courses that is there, but a good detective comes with experience, and it comes with age as well. You would see where stations actually have a good closing figure. It's actually where the average age of the detectives are 35, 40 years of age. It's an older, more experienced police officer, so that's why we concluded that question. Page 47. I think there's also going to be air wing patrols. Oh, it was going to be air patrols. No, air wing is the other one. For Mr. Schneeman, because the East Police Station does the Groomen Lake.
With Honourable and Dolan,
No, we can include that one. We can definitely include that one. I mean, I think also that's the kind of things that we just say other. I mean, but that's the kind of things we are definitely going to pick up on others that we don't even know exist yet.
I thought others were going to cover that. That's what I was going to say. Others were going to cover that.
Mr. Law, as this is a working document, it's not a problem. We can include that one. And as I say, what we will do is, if we get it back from members now, if there are more, we will then include them in this thing as well.
No, sorry. I think you have more, you still have the fee patrols.
That's what he spoke about.
Oh, okay.
That's what we will include there. And then contact details. The contact details is important for the simple reason when your legislators are using the tool, because they need to send it back to the secretary of the committee. And if Ms. Schaefer should decide to go on a long holiday and she doesn't want to come into Parliament and wants to see anything. The issue of police stations not giving their cooperation. The fact of the matter is, and the chairperson has also indicated, that this still is an official tool of Parliament. I mean, that's not the motivation for the committee back in 2005, 2006 to take this rule to Parliament, that it becomes an official document of Parliament. The then commissioner distributed the tool to every single station throughout the country, with an instruction that they must cooperate when members get there. And I think that one would check this and through you that we ask again, once we finalise it, I won't suggest that we do it now, but once we get back the tools after the transition period, we make the changes that are necessary, that we go through the same exercise again where you can engage with the commissioner and ask him to distribute the tools to police stations and ask them to cooperate with members of Parliament or of the legislature or of the NCRP to get there to actually complete the tool. The letter on the title of the cover page is your second entry to the station, where it's actually signed by the chairperson saying that this is the official tool and that is the use. But I think it is important that we just bring it under the attention of national management again, that we are doing that. I must say we have fewer problems. I think there are less stations giving us problems to access. The majority of the stations are cooperating, but you're always going to have a station or two that are difficult and don't want to Okay, I think I've addressed the issue of that Mr. Chowkey raised about the and that we raised about the politicians, and we agreed that we were losing. I don't have a problem. The committee needs to discuss this. The fact of the matter is, I just want to say, so for clarity as well, that the Secretariat has similar tools in all 9 provinces than this. In fact, it's asked similar questions as well. We had access to those tools because we wanted to go through and see whether there's anything of value in their tools that we can actually incorporate for ourselves that we would be interested in, and also in the way that they ask the questions. So I think that's a decision that the committee's got to take. The reality of the matter is that these tools are maybe even more comprehensive than the ones that we are using. I know that the Free State Secretariat, if they go, it takes them about 3 days to complete the tool at 80 regeneration. Now, we're not interested in that. I mean, that is just too much. Yes, when we adopted the tool, we just developed capacity to some extent. We developed capacity in terms of a program that for the data capturing. But the reality of the matter as well is that you've got one researcher for a committee that needs to do this. Now, if members are actually using the tool as they should, if we can get one tool back from every member in Parliament alone, we get 400 completed forms back, and it takes a while, etc. But this is a decision that the committee must take, and maybe what we need to do is to have a proper discussion on it and see how we can actually do so. I must just say that I think in terms of security, nothing that we are asking here are not asked by the Secretariat in their tools. Nothing. In fact, as I say, we are most probably asking their questions. Just in terms of security, I think the ethical problem is an issue. I think that's the issue that we need to address. And maybe we should look, then security becomes an issue. Because the fact of the matter is that your people at the Secretariat is going to work with this and have, unlike any of us, have a top secret view. That for me is not, the security issue for me is not the big problem. The ethical issue is a problem, I think, and that's what we need to discuss. But somehow we will have to get added capacity to capture this. And to not only capture it, it's one thing to capture it, it's a different thing to actually get a sensible report from that data that we've captured. I think we might want to, after the completion of these tools, have a discussion on how we're going forward with the process. I hope I've covered everything.
On the height of
the issue of bodies, the hydros that have oxygen. I don't think it's the question. There is, yeah. Oh, okay. Then I'm comfortable with it. One other thing is that they will say the hydrosaurus so is bodied or in accident. But if you were to ask for the logbook or the petrol records or whatever, you'll find that the hydrosaurus is on the road as you ask the question and they're telling you that it's bodied. Something like that. I don't know. But I'm just raising it. I'm not saying we should include it, but I'm just raising it. On the issue of training as well, I'm not sure whether staff are keeping any training records at police station. I'm not sure about that because if they have field trainer and they have trainee, surely they must, I'm not sure that they have a workbook that they use, I'm not sure, I don't know, but there surely must be a record that today this is what she has learned, or this is what the person within this time frame must learn. I'm not sure whether that is what he thinks. If indeed they are being posted to police station, his training of death is excellent. Otherwise, it looks like work and work and work and work and work. And that is why it's possible for this police training to hold to Mayflower, the other one goes to Woodbank. And when they complete, both of them, it's taken that they have the same competence. It is not the same. You know, I'm just saying that, and probably part of, I'm not saying it should be included there, but maybe on the issue of learning, I have, you know, some passion for those issues related to training. Otherwise, their training becomes, even inside the training, you still record. If you've called your staff, you've trained them on this thing, you keep a record that this is the topic that we discussed today. But for a person who is on training, formal training, not in service, surely they must be recorded. And I'm not sure if they are in that are kept by our trainees and the police station. Thank you very much.
Yes, can I just say on the training issue, you're quite correct. I mean, the training officers, we didn't pick up the gatekeeper records of this. There is, however, with either the training head of training, depending on the type of the station, or the human resource manager, there is official training that people have attended at the court. Interestingly enough, the issue that we're raising now is one that, in a different way, the station commander at Cape Town Central raised with us as well, where he said if he can bring one thing back, and it would be to have, what do we call it, this once a month where the whole station gets together. And that would be the place where he would ideally train these people on standing operating procedures, on changes in national extraction, etc. They used to have something like that, apparently, where station commanders used to once a month have his whole station. Nobody was allowed to leave, etc. On that day, everybody had to be there, and it was for that purpose. It was for a purpose to talk about problems, to do some specific training, to sharpen, if you picked up there's a problem with the domestic violence measures, to sharpen the knowledge of the station on that. So there is a lack. And I think what we might want to do as well is, as we go along, is if we are going to visit training facilities, is to develop a specific questionnaire that we ask at our training facilities to see how it correlates one with the other, but also in terms of whether there are shortcomings or not those are.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Sandvik, for this week. Very appreciated. And thank you for presenting it to us. You know, members are looking at me and wonder whether they are saying it's very possible for us to complete during this constituency period with others not there in the constituency period during the very first week, just this Easter weekend. I'm trying to cigarette network, so 3 might be too much, but 1-2 or anything is going to assist us. That's going to give me a present. I'm just thinking about members really who will then get to join the oversight unit during the retreat, just this week, this week, which is next week, and that week, and probably 3 might not be easy for including the chairperson and then, because I think it will always be difficult, you know, but at least we have got to do something and submit so that we can then be in a position to say, this as a challenge, this is what we think. When you check it, yes?
Jim, before you close the meeting, because I know you don't like when you want to close the meeting, can I just say also we want to encourage members to make use of somebody from the legislature or from a member from another committee who is in your area as well, and try and go to a police station, because then you can actually split it and it becomes easier to complete it. And at the same time, you can do training of the other members, train them in using the tool. That's why I asked Ms. Shaker as well whether we're going to go together in the way to take on business conversations. Because it just makes it easier. Otherwise, you're going to think hours and hours.
What could you want to say?
Yeah.
It's okay, because you don't sit down and ask questions. You have to go in and think and ask open questions.
Yeah.
That is going to assist us. Thank you very much, members, for this work and I think this is our last meeting, and then we will be going for Easter. I want to believe that those who are Christians will go to church on Thursday.
Thursday
for the Holy
Sacrament.
For the Holy Sacrament, and then we'll be there. When politicians attend, so that they don't think that we just. Thank you very much. Enjoy your long weekend. And this is your constituency period. Until we meet after this. Constituency. Thank you.
Thank you.